there isn't like a quota or requirement. It's just like being who you are and keep taking steps towards where you would like to go and enjoying the reality of the moment of where you are.
Please share, we can do better.
So many of us are told and believe that it's impractical to pursue change in our life. We believe we have to stay stuck, that we don't have any options, and it's impossible to do things our own way. I believe the opposite. It's not only practical, but essential that you go after whatever brings you more happiness and freedom in your life. This show explores the ways you can break free from the mold, start to trust yourself more, and lean into what lights you up. And when you do, you can truly show up in the world as your most authentic and confident self, which frees you up for endless possibilities. I'm your host, Angie Cazares, and together, I'm pretty sure we can do better. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Pretty Sure We Can Do Better. If this is your first time here, welcome. If you are returning, you'll probably notice that my intro is a bit different than it has been in the past. So yeah, I have decided recently to expand this show to not just finding, you know, focusing on freedom and flexibility with time and schedule, but also just ways in general that we can all feel more free in our lives through personal development, through really leaning in to the thing that feels good to us, that lights us up. And so many times we get in our head about this when we just don't feel comfortable in our current circumstance in our life. You know, it could even be in a relationship that you're in. It can be in a job that you're in. It can be anything where you're not feeling comfortable and you're just feeling stuck. And it just feels so overwhelming to step out of that and to start to, you know, take risks that are going to pay off or invest in yourself for personal development that's going to be able to get you to that point. So many things that hold us back and we just think, oh my gosh, I can't do it. That person's doing it, but I can't do it. And that's what I want to focus on with this podcast. That's what I want to focus on in my coaching. I don't want anyone to feel stuck. I don't want anyone to feel like you don't have options to take your life a different direction. So we're going to have lots of people on. We're going to discuss lots of different things all around getting you started to trust yourself, to lean into those things that are truly important to you. And, you know, how you can get confident in doing that, how you can start to back yourself up, you know, have your own back in taking these steps. So we're going to cover lots of those things on the podcast now. And this week's guest is perfect start to making that shift, is a friend of mine, AJ Morrison. And you'll hear all about his story. But like, yeah, he's pinged around to do lots of different types of things and experiences. And what I love about his story is that it's still going. He's still on his journey to figuring out, you know, the best fit for him. But throughout his whole story, that's what he did. He's leaned in to the thing that felt most fun to him, that felt most freeing to him, and didn't settle for, you know, staying in this kind of stability or, you know, practical job every time. He just leans in, asks himself, what do I really want? What's going to light me up? And that's the thing that he goes for. And so I really admire that about AJ, and I know you're going to love his story. And yeah, without further ado, here he is. Hey, AJ, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
I'm excited. I had to twist AJ's arm a little bit to come on this morning and share his story. But I basically just sent him a calendar invite and was like, hey, you're going to do this podcast interview. And here he is.
That's pretty much how it happened. Well, I definitely appreciate the friendly pressure. Because like you'd mentioned me coming on and talking through different things, because we've had conversations like this quite a few times, just about like career path and just like mental, I don't know, mind frame and stuff around like all of
yeah, what... absolutely, like all the journey of of starting a business or doing your own thing or transitioning from stable employment and all of it.
Yeah.
And absolutely. All of it is part of your journey. So it's perfect for you to be on this show.
Yeah. So welcome. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. And it's been good for me to sort of think through and process my journey and yeah, just realize that there is like a unique flow to my path, and it's a valuable thing to just kind of realize like, how did I get where I am? Mm-hmm. And you know, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool that this thing happened and that thing happened. And I suppose we could talk about this and that thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah, because you really have pinged around from, you know, doing your own thing and freelancing to having a stable job. So back and forth. And I'd love to just like learn a bit more about your thoughts through the whole process and kind of what helped you decide the decisions to make that were best for you at the time. So let's just start. I mean, you've always been really into theater. You know, that's just kind of been like anybody who knows AJ Morrison, it's like, oh, AJ Morrison and like performing in theater and like all of these just like super talented guy. It's just like, that's just who you are. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got into it. And then we'll talk a bit about your pinging around.
Yeah, for sure. So I am an actor and educator based in Chicago now, but yeah, performing was always something like through elementary school and high school and then into college was something that I was really very passionate about. But I actually decided to go into college as an education major. And that, frankly, was probably one of the first moments in my journey that it was sort of like, I don't know, like a fork in the road where I was making a decision for like, do I do the quote practical thing or the like thing that I really like want to do because I really like that thing?
Yeah.
And in some ways I feel like I kind of cheated in college. Cheated is probably the wrong word, but I decided to go to college as an education major, had a great experience, music education. So it was still involved in the arts, but all throughout my experience in college, I still performed in everything and anything that I could when it was on stage. So I did 12 productions in the 4 years I was at college, which is a lot, even for a theater major. Yeah. And I then had a lot of experience on stage as a performer. I was a voice primary, so my voice teacher, she really was also like approached it from an actor's standpoint. So like my voice lessons were also kind of like acting lessons as well. So I left college with a degree in education, but a lot of experience in theater and training in theater as well. And so when I finished student teaching, I was left with that choice again of like, okay, I wasn't super excited about going into the classroom full time. I had an offer to take a job in the school where I student taught as the building substitute. So I would have been going to the same building every day and substituting wherever they needed me. But I'd also started auditioning around the city and I was offered my first professional contract as a performer. At the Children's Museum's Lily Theater, which is a children's theater housed in the Children's Museum, which is super cool. So then I was faced again with essentially that same decision of like, do I do the quote, like, practical thing and take a job that's like a 9-to-5 essentially in a school that I could then potentially like use that experience to then get a full-time teaching job?
Yeah. Good resume builder.
Right. Like, it would have been a cool experience. It was a bilingual school or an immersion school. And I speak Spanish. And so I would have been using that school. There were a lot of reasons that said, mm-hmm. like, that's the smart way to go.
Yeah.
But I just wasn't excited about it. Like, I, as I thought about it and then also looked at the show that I was offered a contract for, I was like, man, like, looking at the contract and thinking about being in that production, that's what got, that's what made me smile. Like, that's what made me excited thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it that I looked at was just the math. Like, I looked at the, how much I would make as a substitute teacher, which given that it was like a full-time position, really is not much. Like, substitute teachers, sure. they make a daily rate. I think I would have had a pay bump since I was like the building substitute going mm-hmm. in. Like, it was a more of a full-time position versus like a day-by-day substitute thing, sort of thing. But anyway, like, I looked at the two options, and even though the contract to do the show was short term, it was like a 3-month, I think, contract. That's what made me excited. And when I looked at the math, it wasn't all of that different. And I knew that I could make up that difference somewhere else if I wanted to. So I went with it. I did my first professional production at a children's theater in Indianapolis. And of experiences that are like eye-opening and I don't know, like, I guess I could say like life-changing. I don't know. I don't like hyperbole a whole lot, but yeah. it was a really cool experience for me being in a place doing a thing that I had done for fun through elementary school, middle school, high school, college, and then being in a place where I was doing it and they were paying me to do it. It was
totally
bizarre and super cool. And then like
one of those, like, I'm living the dream moments, you know?
Right. And it was like, it was interesting because, like, yes, living the dream, but it was sort of like I had almost ignored the dream because while I was in college, I was studying education. And so I was like, this is like my focus. And so I didn't realize what it could be, I guess. And then like actually having an experience of doing a professional production and then instead of like this hypothetical, yeah, like some people maybe are able to like work sometimes as an actor, but then like having it no longer be hypothetical and being a real physical experience,
right, where
I was doing something that I absolutely loved with people who were super committed and super good at what they were doing and passionate about the same thing at the same level that I was passionate about, it was a very unique experience. And so it was like redefined the dream in a way, actually having that experience. So then
it's awesome though.
Oh yeah. It was super cool. And the ironic thing, I don't know if irony is the right word to use here, but that contract that was supposed to be just 3 months ended up turning into a full-time position at the Children's Museum. So I auditioned for it. It was a separate audition. And I think having been in the show, they did see my skills. And so that had an impact on their decision to hire me as a full-time actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the Children's Museum, which was a really unique and cool experience. I was at the Children's Museum for 3.5 years where I wrote educational materials and educational programming, I guess, for the galleries throughout the museum. I performed every day. So I was having like a ton of experience in front of mostly smaller audiences because it's in the galleries, but it was like a constant, like going from playing Otto Frank in the Anne Frank exhibit to then like playing a gecko and like just this wide variety of things, which is something that I really thrive on, is the variety of being a performer. Getting to learn new things, new characters, and new skills is, I love it. I love it. Anything like that. So I was an actor with a full-time acting job with benefits. Mm-hmm. And all of those things in one sentence almost never happens. Like, you don't see that sentence. it was like it's a very unique position, and it's really cool that it exists. But after a few years of being there, I realized like if I wanted to explore theater in a more direct way, then I had kind of gotten what I could out of the Children's Museum. And so then again, I was deciding, do I stay in this position? I'm performing and acting, and I loved many aspects of that job. And stay here with a full-time job and the insurance and all of those things. Or I had started getting offers to do shows that I was having to turn down because of the full-time job. And so I was like, I again was faced with like having to turn down the thing that I was really excited about to do the thing that was less exciting, I guess. Like, I was still performing, but it
like ticked all the boxes, but didn't really light you up.
Yes. Yeah. And so there were things that I was excited about that I was not able to do. So that's when I ultimately like left the full-time position at the Children's Museum and went freelance for the first time.
So, I mean, was it just the kind of thought that like, oh, I'm getting consistent offers. I'm getting, you know, kind of what gave you that confidence to step away from the stability and the benefits? I mean, that's a huge hang up for a lot of people, like in that, like, you're like, I'm acting, I'm doing these things, but it's not lighting me up as much as I know it could. So what was your thought there?
Well, I made the transition very like informed, I guess, or like I got as much information I could before I ultimately made the decision to leave the Children's Museum. So like by that point I had already booked one show or maybe two shows out, but then I also reached out to some contacts in the theater community, some casting director that I know, and I was like, hey, because this was one person who had said like, man, I'd love to use you in my productions, but I really wish the museum would give you more freedom to get out for rehearsals and things like that. And so I called them up and I was like, hey, I'm looking at making this switch. Do you think you would be able to use me in any productions in the coming year? And they basically just like kind of listed it out. They were like, that's really cool that you're thinking about that.
Oh, cool.
I could see using you in this production and this production and maybe in that production. So like if you make that choice, let me know. So nice. I wasn't just like jumping out without any kind of parachute. Like I had an idea that there were things that people were interested in using me for.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I guess like that was a more informed transition out of the full-time position rather than just like, I'm done.
You laid all the groundwork and did your research and utilized your network and connections and just sort of, you're like, I don't know exactly what this is going to look like, but it looks like, you know, it wasn't just completely throwing yourself out there into the wild either.
Right. So I did it. I made the transition and it went pretty much like I expected as far as those, the shows that, that casting director said, like, hey, I think I could use you in those. They did use me in those. And so like I performed through that next year and the year after, like I was performing regularly in the Indianapolis area. And I'm very grateful for all of those opportunities to be in those productions and having been, yeah, having those shows and experiences and jobs essentially,
yeah.
that I had through that time. At the same time, it was also like all of the things that come along with being a freelance artist, like the performing alone wasn't going to make ends meet. And so I was doing lots of other things. I delivered DoorDash for a while. I was substitute teaching. And a friend of mine, he got me into teaching theater classes at the Civic Theater in Indianapolis. So I started having my first classroom experiences as the instructor, where I was developing materials and stuff like that. So those were good experiences. One summer, I actually led some theater camps. So I had like 30 or 40 kids that I had a couple assistants who were in high school, but like this was my camp and they were essentially like, so we're doing this show. Here's the script. You're going to have the kids for like 6 hours a day. Good luck. And so I had to come up with like all of the stuff to keep the kids engaged and things like that.
Wow.
So all of that to say, like, during those years that I was freelancing, there was lots of different gigs, I guess, like having to do this thing and that thing in order to make it all work. And it came to a point where I was ready for something more consistent. I didn't know what that would be, but I was sort of toying with the idea of teaching. And then a full-time teaching position did come up and I'd been performing for several years and decided, thinking like, hey, I'll take a break. I can do this full-time job. I'll have a bit more free time. And who knows, like I hadn't really directly used my education degree, my music education degree. And part of me had always wondered like, huh, like, would I even like it? Like, and if I did like it, that could be cool. That could be a cool thing to do.
Right.
And so a full-time teaching position came up that made sense for me. I, long story short, got the job. And then here I was again in a full-time position, teaching music and really loving, enjoying lots of aspects of that. There's a performative aspect that comes along with being a music teacher that's really fun. But after a year or so, I essentially found myself kind of overworking myself because of the way that I was approaching the being a music teacher. Like I went into it thinking like, yeah, I'll have a full-time job again. I'll have more free time. But the reality was like, I didn't have any more free time, and not only less free time, the free time that I had, I was mentally always thinking about my classes, yeah, and thinking about like, I still have to write this lesson plan, or I still have to like that. The mental load of the teaching experience for me was like so constant. And so like free time wasn't entirely free, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know you've mentioned to me also part of that was this pressure that you put on yourself to really, which on one hand is very admirable, like the pressure you put on yourself to be like the very best teacher that you could be. And like, you were talking about creating all these customized plans for your kids and like all like going, you know, so deep into it, but that it was just this sort of pressure that you put on yourself too, which is so common. And for all of us, that it's like, we want to show up as the best version that we can be which for you and a lot of creative people, you're always just like, oh, but I can do better. I'm pretty sure I can do better, right? Huh? you know, for you, you're so talented. So it's like, oh, I could do this with it. I'm like, and you're so creative. So it's like all these ideas just firing off all the time, but that also really can consume you and your time and your energy.
Absolutely. That's something that I know I do quite a bit, where it's like I get involved in something or get excited about something. And I have a hard time just being realistic with where I am at the point, like when I'm starting out. And so like, I will see, like as a teacher, I went to like a lot of workshops and master classes and did graduate studies with expert master, like ninja teachers, who I saw them doing what they did. And it was like, that's the way I want to do this thing.
Right.
And so I don't know, like, I think the thing that I'm learning is you can't skip the time that it takes to develop the craft, mm-hmm. And whatever that craft might be. You ultimately, like, you have to put in the time and work at it over however much time that takes in order to get to the point that you are at that place that you're looking at from a distance. Because like, it's like saying, I don't want to climb Mount Everest, but I want to be at the peak, like right now. Mm-hmm. You have to make the climb, and you look up and you see the peak, and maybe you've seen like pictures that people have taken from the peak. And so you can see what it looks like from being up there, and you're standing down on the ground, and it's like, yeah, that's how I want to do it. I want to be up there. I want to be there, for sure. But the reality is you still have to make the climb. And I think it's really important to give yourself grace, or I don't know the right term, like,
yeah,
be kind to yourself and pace yourself while you're making the climb, or you aren't going to reach it. Like, you won't reach the peak if you're trying to sprint, or not even sprint, if you think like you can build some like Wile E. Coyote wings and fly up there within a day.
Oh, totally.
The wings are going to fall apart.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I mean, because yeah, I mean, I do that all the time as a coach, right? Like, I'll see all these other coaches who are just like brilliant, and they like get these people amazing results and aha moments all the time. And it's like, I want to be that person, like, but right now. And it's like, yeah, you have to just slow down and be like, this is where I am right now. This is like the life circumstances going on in my life right now, which are different for every person, but just like exactly what you said. I loved where you're like, give yourself grace and be kind to yourself, because that's where the issues come in. When you beat yourself up for not already being there, mm-hmm. and then you start to stumble and you start to like skip steps and you start to burn yourself out. And so just being kind to yourself and being like, okay, that's where I'm going, but this doesn't have to be a sprint. And just really like art, you know, developing like that craft, like you were saying, but slowly over time and getting better. And also just realizing like for you with these students that you were teaching, you know, being elementary school students, probably like not having so much music exposure outside of school for most of the students that I know you were working with, you were light years ahead of them. So even just you showing up and being you and doing the basics would have been still rising them up, if that makes sense. You know,
right. You can add value from the perspective that you're currently at. You don't have to like be in some different or like different place or different skill set to add value. You can add value now, mm-hmm. in the best way that you can.
Oh,
with the skills that you have at the moment.
Absolutely. I mean, and you just have to be like one, even just one step ahead of the person that you're like working with or teaching or coaching or, you know, any of that. And so, yeah, you didn't have to put so much pressure on yourself, but it's totally normal to, because of the society that we live in. It's just
totally. And it's interesting, like getting to that mindset where like where I am right now is okay. I don't need to be at the finish line right now, because like I'm still running a race and like
mm-hmm. we all
enjoying,
are
right enjoying that experience, and rather than trying to like skip the experience, because ultimately the reason that those people that like I looked up to as teachers or as actors or whatever, the reason I look up to them is because they have learned all the lessons that I'm learning right now. And so doing what they are doing at the level that they are doing it requires going through the stages that like that I'm at right now. And so being where I am is, it's okay. Like, mm-hmm. and in a way that's like a liberating feeling, because it's acknowledging that there isn't like a quota or requirement. It's just like being who you are and keep taking steps towards where you would like to go, and enjoying the reality of the moment of where you are in all that it contains.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I love that.
There's, so I listened to a podcast on voice acting, and I forget who it was that was talking about it. But anyway, there's this flow of skill development that follows an interesting track. And he says, like, you start out when you're learning any kind of new skill, you start out from a place of incompetence. You don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And so like, you're just doing the thing. You don't know if you're good at it. You don't know if you're bad at it. You're just like incompetence.
Yeah.
Then like, as you start working on it, you get to a place of competent incompetence where like, oh man, now I know what I don't know. Like I know that there are things that I need to work on. And then as you're working on those things that you realize you need to work on, you get to a place of competent competence. So like you're aware of what you need to work on. And if you focus on it, you can nail it. You mm-hmm. got it, but you really have to think about it in order to get there. And then the next stage is getting to a point of incompetent competence, where the skill just happens and you don't have to think about it. Because you've done that process and you've made your way like around this cycle, but you can't skip any one of those points and just suddenly be like perfect at the skill. Mm-hmm. You've got to work your way to getting to the skill. And that's something like right now, like that I've been thinking at and trying to reframe certain aspects of like whether life or professional skills, where it's like, man, it's okay that I have to really think about this right now in order to get it right. Just the fact that I'm thinking about it and working towards it is like all that matters. I'm just at that stage, and at some point hopefully I'll be at the stage where like I don't have to think about it so hard.
Oh, I love that. I love like just like the recognition. But then like what I just heard you do was like recognize where you are, but not judge yourself for it. And mm-hmm. I think like that's where so many people get caught up. It's like they'll see people who are where they want to be, and then they're like, I'm not there and I have to learn all this stuff. But I should be learning it faster. I should like just judging where you are right now. And I love that you just recognize like, oh yeah, this is a challenge for me right now. I have to think about this, but it's just part of the process. And that doesn't mean I'm not worthy. That doesn't mean I'm not going to learn it. I'm just not there right now. And then you mm-hmm. can like move on calmly into like focusing on what you're doing.
Right. Right.
That's
awesome. Like the freedom of like, if you're trying to grab onto the like a passing car to try and help you speed up and get to where you're going faster, you're going to fall down. And it's just the freedom of like, I'm moving and I'm comfortable and I'm happy. And hey, it's sunny outside and I can actually enjoy that because I'm not being drugged by a pickup truck.
Yeah.
Trying to go awesome. Faster than I can.
I love that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think we got off a little bit on a tangent. I know we were which is a great tangent. I love it. We were talking about you were in the teaching job and you kind of like, yeah, you got burnt out because you were like putting all this effort into it. And so what happened from there?
So while I was teaching and I don't know, having all that pressure, putting all that pressure on myself and like really working hard at what I was doing, I also constantly found myself missing performing, missing being on stage, like that whole time. And so like, I knew pretty early on that the full-time teaching job wasn't where I wanted to be forever. I just didn't know when I was going to transition out. And then like I had some life changes and things. So I was married at the time that I started the job when my wife and I separated. And it was like, as far as that kind of thing goes, it's like a very amicable situation and everything. But it also like, once that happened, it opened doors because it was just like, at that point, it was just, I was the only person that I was like considering in any changes I might make. And so I was like, well, really assess within myself, like, do I want to stay in this position or do I want to explore performing again? And I realized like, if I did go the performance route, it wasn't just Indianapolis. Like there was no reason I couldn't go like wherever. And so I decided to again make the transition out of the full-time position and go into performing, and with the goal of like auditioning in different cities and different regions and really just putting myself out there in different places and just see what happens. And that was the choice I made. That's how I went about it.
Yeah. So again, it was, you had stability, you had the benefits, you had the insurance, you were doing like, again, it like ticked the boxes. You were using your degree. You liked it. You were really good at it, but it wasn't lighting you up like every step of the way. It's just like, what's going to do that? So you put in your notice and you just like are out like, again, freelance performing.
Right. And prior to the end of that semester, so I let my principal know that I was going to be leaving pretty early on so that they could start the process of finding somebody to replace me. And I also like at that point started auditioning again. So before I left the school position, like I had booked one show. So I knew at least like the week after I left that position, I was going to be back in rehearsals, and I had something at least for like the next certain amount of time, like 3 months or whatever it was. And I had auditions on my calendar, and I was like, you know, somebody's going to bite.
Yeah, that's great.
Somebody's going to want to use me. And I was reaching out to my network again and things like that. And yeah. So that's kind of the way I went about this transition. It wasn't as smooth as the first time.
Yeah.
But I think part of why I was able to be comfortable with that, the roughness of the transition is because like, I wasn't going into totally unfamiliar territory. I had already worked as a freelance performer and I knew kind of how that looked. So I had one show lined up and I was confident that other things would come up because like it had before, so it'll happen.
Yeah, I love that. Was there anybody that tried to talk you out of making that transition? Well, besides me, because you were the music teacher at now where my son goes to school and I wanted to be a music teacher. So there was me, you know, saying, no, AJ, I want you to teach my my son. But no, really, I was supportive, but
yes. Yeah. No, you thought it was cool. Well, it's interesting. Like I don't think so. Like there wasn't anybody. In fact, like, man, the amount of support I had from the teachers at the school when I left, like, oh, like it made it tough to leave.
Oh, just yeah. 'Cause like,
yeah. Like they were like super supportive and excited for me. Family, like they totally also like they understood. I think there's always, and even within myself, there's always like, well, hope this works kind of feeling. And I think there's probably some of that going on with like my parents and stuff too. But no, it was a pretty supportive community around me of like family and friends and things like that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, and so that kind of brings us to your present journey of, mm-hmm. you know, you're experimenting mm-hmm. still with, well, I mean, then throw in a pandemic, of course.
Right.
There's that.
So one of the reasons that I've been so hesitant to come on your podcast is because like my experience is still very open-ended at this point. There's no like exciting sure. punctuation mark, like ending to this story, because right now, skip to the end. Where I am right now is very much in a developmental stage of trying to establish myself as a working actor in Chicago. So how I got here, like I said, I had started auditioning in different cities. And one of the places that I auditioned was at the Illinois Theater Association, ITA. They had a big, they call them like a cattle call, or I don't know if that's the term that they use these days, but it was a big giant group audition where a whole bunch of theater companies come and they're in one lecture hall auditorium room. And then one after another, actors come in and audition with a number on your shirt.
Okay.
And then it's cool because then you get to audition for like, I don't know, 20 theater companies with one audition versus having to go to 20 different auditions. So it's a great experience and a great opportunity. So I went to that, and a children's theater here in Chicago that specializes in, it's an educational children's theater. So it specialized in bringing theatrical experiences, basically a theater camp, to communities across the country. I think like they saw my performance skills and saw my like background in teaching, and they were the ones that ultimately offered me a contract. And I came on as a teaching artist. And so I contracted, this was 2019, and I came on with a contract to be a teaching artist. And so with those camps, I went to a community that had brought us in to put on the camp essentially. And between Monday and Friday, we put up a show with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
We had the scripts and had costumes and everything like with us. We brought it all along, and it was a theater camp in a car that we drove to the place. But the unique thing about it is the educators are also actors with the kids.
Yeah.
So there were two educators, and we each had a role that we played in the show with the kids. So I did that for the summer, and I performed and taught from Texas all the way up to Wisconsin and places in between. And then they offered me they asked me if I would be interested in coming on as their education director. And it was going to be a part-time position. And that gave me the opportunity to like make the actual move to Chicago. So I was like, you know, I've been wanting to explore the Chicago market as an actor. So this is a clear opportunity to have something stable, like some amount of steady income and steady work,
yeah,
while also getting to familiarize myself with the Chicago theater scene. And so I took it, and that's what initially brought me to Chicago. I made the move in the summer of 2019 and worked as the education director for them up until March 2020.
Woohoo! Adventure yes. time.
Adventures. So when the pandemic hit, like, the work that the company did entirely stopped. Like, there wasn't any theater of any kind happening and no in-person camps and stuff. So I worked with the company through 2020 and did virtual things, but ultimately decided to take my leave of the company. The company is still like functioning company. They have just like done virtual type things since the pandemic, and they're hoping to get back on the road in 2022. But once it was clear that, like, I don't know, like, it was not going to be like the same experience and the same sort of steady thing, I just realized that it was time for me to take my leave and try and focus on my own path and try and forge my own path through the chaos of 2020, especially as an actor. And so that's basically more or less where I find myself now. So right now, this fall, I was like, well, I'm not in any productions this fall. I did do a production in the spring, which was great to be back on stage and do something, but nothing else really came up. I've submitted quite a few like auditions and stuff, on camera auditions as well for like commercial type things. But this fall, I actually decided, while I'm not doing any shows, like, I can still focus on myself and my skill set. So I've been taking classes, taking on-camera acting classes, voiceover class, which is a whole other aspect of my career and trajectory that we didn't really talk about, getting into voiceover. And I've done some audiobooks and stuff like that. So on-camera acting classes, voiceover class, and I'm also taking improvisation at Second City, which is pretty cool. Like, Second City, where a lot of people got their start, like Chris Farley and Stephen Colbert. And
oh, cool.
Yeah.
So where are, like, what is sort of your ideal now? I mean, I know you mentioned voiceover and you've been doing some of that. You've created your own sound booth in your apartment.
Right.
So yeah, what's going on now?
So now I think voiceover is one of the things that I'm focusing on quite a bit. So I would like to work towards getting agency representation here in Chicago. I have representation in Indianapolis, and with that agency, they mostly do smaller commercials and, well, some they do larger things as well, but it's like regional sorts of things is the majority of the opportunities that come through that agency. Versus, like, if I did get representation here in Chicago, then I could potentially be auditioning for more national commercial kinds of things.
Okay.
And then some of the on-camera stuff for like TV and film that records here in Chicago. And then as theaters open more, like auditioning more in theaters for theater productions as that comes up, which is still like kind of slow in coming as far as like opening up for general auditions and things like that. So, but honestly, like, I'm sort of also just like figuring out what my path looks like right now as a working actor. Like, I think there's still aspects of education and being a theater teaching artist that I would like to work into the mix, but I don't know really like what that looks like. And it makes me feel really weird, like, saying that, because, like, I don't know, like, I think it's always nice to say, like, this is what I'm doing and this is what I'm going for. And like, I've got it all like mapped out. And I think where I am right now is sort of building what my map looks like and just kind of working on myself and my skill set and figuring out what some of the different aspects of acting and performing that I haven't explored so much, like on camera, like, do I like that? Is that something that I want to do? I guess I'll take some classes and see if mm-hmm, I like it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just sort of figuring things out. And
what I think is cool is that, I mean, and that's just so the theme of this podcast, which is why I wanted you to come on, is that every step of the way you've just basically, like, I think that's your path forward, is like just asking yourself, like, what does light me up here? And I know you've mentioned, like, oh man, I just have all these different, if I just focused on one thing, I could be like light years ahead. Right. But I think what's really cool is that you have such a unique and diverse background of experiences, that those are the things that are setting you up for ultimately, you know, whatever this turns out to be, which I think is awesome, because it's like, yeah, you could have stuck to one path and just like gone with it. And you would have been like, who knows, in that thing right now, but also just like not seeing any sort of negativity in the fact that you have gone so many different ways and gained so many different skill sets, because it's just, I think, the perfect, you're going to find the thing and you're going to like navigate the way to the perfect thing that embrace, like, all, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that I've done all these different random things.
Yeah.
Just see yeah. it happening for you.
Yeah, no, that's kind of my attitude in moving forward. Are you familiar at all with Joseph Campbell? He was like an expert in mythology, and one of his big things is like the hero's journey and following the path to becoming like triumphant and finding like meaning in within like our lives from like various mythologies or stories and stuff like that. But one of the things that I remember coming out of like one of his, either a book or a podcast I listened to, is he just said like, look, just follow your bliss is the term.
Yes.
So follow your bliss. What is the thing that really, like you said, lights you up, and letting that guide you in your decisions that you're making.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And you've done it, and you're walking the walk, and you're just getting started to mm-hmm. all the amazing things that you're going to do. And I can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where can people in my audience like connect with you, or, you know, do you have anywhere where people can follow along with what you're up to?
Sure. I actually, like, none of my social media is like public, but let's see, Alvin J. Morrison.
Yeah.
Alvin J. Morrison on Instagram and Facebook. I do have a website for voiceover. It is ajvoiceover.com.
Okay.
And there's demos on there and things like that. So, like, I mean, if somebody wants to use my voice for something, I'd totally like be happy to help out with that. But I'm just thinking of different ways people can connect. Yeah.
No, it's awesome. It's just putting yourself out there and seeing what opportunities come your way. So if anybody needs any voiceover, any, you know, actor in a commercial, who knows? Give AJ a call. Sure. But yeah, I appreciate you coming on and sharing this, because like, I love featuring people who don't have all the pieces of the puzzle together, because who does, first of all?
Right.
But like, I'm definitely still figuring this out. I mean, I've pinged around and trying different business things and different, you know, angles of all of this. And I'm still trying to figure it out and shifting. And it's just really cool to know that other people are as well, and to be able to see that. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah. I was hesitant to share because of those reasons, but honestly, like, I personally like enjoy hearing people's experiences in getting to wherever they are, and sometimes, like, hopefully there's value in hearing an unfinished story.
Absolutely. And it's not like we can't have you back on to follow up and see where AJ is. We've done that too.
True. Yes.
So, yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much. And yeah, we'll chat soon.
Yep. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. And again, if you find yourself feeling stuck, wanting change in your life but not knowing where to begin, having doubts that it's actually possible for you to do, go check out my website. The link will be in the show notes. I have lots of free resources that can get you started. And you can also book a free call with me if you're interested in learning more about my coaching package. I would be honored to be your coach and help you through this journey as you get started. So go check out the link, and I will see you on the next episode.